Welcome, and thank you for coming to another one of our little broadcasts. Today I want to talk about the certainty of prayer, and I have two scriptures to kind of expound from this topic on. The first is found in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. It reads as follows: "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks shall receive, and he who seeks shall find, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." The second scripture that kind of goes with this is found in James chapter 4, and it's verse 3. "You ask and do not receive, because you ask incorrectly." Now, when we're looking at these two verses, the one thing that kind of jumps out, at least in my mind's eye, is the simple fact that our Lord is trying to highlight something very important about prayer, and it's probably the most debatable part of what prayer is, and that is whether or not prayer truly does get an answer. Now, typically when you talk to some people about it, they'll reply with you something to the degree of, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and other times it's maybe or something totally different. And this is not really what is being highlighted here in these verses. There is a answer that comes to our prayers that's in result to what we're petitioning. Now, of course, there are times when we submit ourselves to the will of God because we're not 100% certain what that will is. But that's a prayer of consecration. It's totally different than a prayer of petition. A prayer of petition is one where you're making a request and you're seeking God for it. And if we understand from our previous lessons about the love that God has, his knowledge of what we have need of before we ask, and just being alone with him and really learning about him as a father, we come away with the idea that we will have answers to our prayer. In fact, when Jesus is talking about praying to God in secret and how he rewards openly and giving us the pattern of prayer in the Our Father, the key thing that he wants us to have is to know that the most important thing for any prayer is that all prayer will be heard and answered. Now, there's a difference in what the answer is depending upon our understanding of God's will. But at the end of the day, God expects all prayer to be answered. And he uses terminology like receiving, finding, and opening as a way to emphasize that there is a confidence that we can have in God, that the answer that we're seeking will be given to us. In all of his repetition, he wants to really implant this in our mind, that we may and must confidently expect an answer to our prayer that goes along the lines with what we are praying for. In fact, there's nothing that stands in the revelation of who God is to us that's more important in the entire understanding of what prayer is for us than to gather into our minds and really comprehend that everyone who asks receives. It's not a yes, a no, and a maybe. It's when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, you get exactly what you're asking for, seeking for, and knocking for. Now, the only reason it would ever be different than that is that you yourself don't ask correctly, or you're asking with the wrong intention, or there's something wrong with the way you're presenting what you see as your need. And this is the two things that are brought out, because James emphasizes that the only reason why you don't receive when you ask is you're asking incorrectly. There's something wrong from the perspective of how you are going about stuff than is really wrong with God in this situation. So, when we look at this, we see first, ask receives for the things in specific that we pray for. I may ask for and receive a gift, but I can't receive the gift without understanding the giver. Same thing. Seeking is the word which uses of God himself. And Christ assures us that whenever we seek God, and this is stuff that's found in other scriptures, that when we seek God, we will find him. In fact, it's not enough to find God in a time of need without coming into some type of abiding fellowship. So there's something of this abiding in the vine that continues with this idea of asking, seeking, and knocking. And knocking speaks of being admitted to dwell with him and in him in this abiding sense. So asking and receiving the gift should also lead us to seeking and finding who the giver is. And this is key to our being able to truly have answers to our prayer. It's not just, I'm seeking this from God. Like, I'm not just standing with God to get $1 million, because $1 million is not the end goal of everything that I'm praying for. It's not to be healed of cancer or whatever illness, disease, or deficiency that you have. You're seeking something more. You're looking to find something more. And this is where the whole idea of knocking and opening the door allows us to find a place with God and a home with him. In fact, the one thing that the Lord doesn't want us to have is to just think that all prayer is a means to an end. Because in receiving an answer, we find God. And we open our hearts to God to allow him to take residence in us. These are the fruits of prayer. So asking, seeking, knocking are all a part of the same action of petitioning God for a gift. And is the reason why when you truly ask, you will receive. When you truly seek, you will find. When you truly knock, the door is opened unto you. You have that place with God. And this is something that we need to really get, because it's something where God understands where we have doubts and such. That's why a lot of people don't pray, is because they don't really see any benefit to their praying. They don't see and really understand how to ask things correctly and really receive things correctly, because they're seeking the gift, not the giver. And that's kind of the big problem. But you see, prayer does accomplish much, because we're told, ask and you shall receive. And it's even put it out that everyone that ask receives. It's not limited to just a certain group of pious individuals. It's not limited to certain type of request in the sense of limiting the request by the type of thing that's being asked. But it's the how you ask. It's the whether or not you're asking incorrectly, whether or not you're asking with the proper motives, whether or not you're asking in the right manner. Or you really understand what it is you're asking for and how you're asking for it. These are the things. So in reality, if you ask but don't receive the answer that you're looking for, it must be because there's something wrong or lacking in your prayer or the way that you're approaching God. This is one of the key things that I think was almost right in the Word of Faith movement, where it was getting you to understand the place faith has in the life of every Christian, to where faith truly does rest. It's a confidence in God. It's a resting in what he has to say. It is a speaking out of what Mary said to the angel Gabriel when she conceived Jesus, of doing unto me as you have said, type of attitude. And when you truly get that, you really understand that you get answers to prayer. In fact, if you know that you're supposed to receive the answer to your prayer, it keeps you in prayer and keeps you persevering forward in prayer, because you don't let go. You don't end up like those people that go, well, I prayed, but I didn't get the answer, so I just gave up. Really? Stop for a minute. If you really wanted a bike for Christmas, would you stop just because Christmas was over of not wanting that bike? I mean, think about it. If you really wanted something really, 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 really bad, would you give up on it? Would you stop pursuing it? Would you let any disappointment really prevent you from moving forward? I think about this when people talk about what they should be in life. You either get obsessed with being who you're meant to be, or you're following just whatever seems to be the right thing for the moment. And that's not how we pursue life. In fact, if we persevere and we let the word of God in both the teaching office of the church and in the scriptures itself and the Holy Spirit himself to teach us how to pray properly, we'll never go into the prayer closet and not have the confidence that we'll have what we're asking for. Because this is the type of confidence, this is the type of faith that God really wants to arouse in everyone. And it's simply that if you ask, you will receive the answer to what you're asking for. And we can look at other situations in scripture where people are asking for things and they get answers, and such. And the way in which they get the answers shows what they're really asking for, and not so much or what's wrong with why they're not getting what they're asking for is because there's something more that they don't know about the situation that would change the manner of their prayer. One example is the thorn that Paul talks about in the, I believe it's the second book of Corinthians, where he talks about how he prayed three times for the Lord to remove this thorn of the flesh. And the Lord basically answered to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. When you are weak, you are strong." It wasn't so much that he needed the thorn removed from him, it was that he needed more of grace. So he was more praying for grace, not so much for the thorn to be removed. And that revelation is what changed the focus of his prayer. He still got the answer. He just didn't get the answer he was expecting because, in a sense, like James points out, he was asking incorrectly. And a lot of times that's how we need to approach our prayer. If we're not getting what we're looking for, we need to ask ourselves, how are we asking incorrectly? What is wrong about what we're asking for? Are we asking so that we may consume it for ourselves and not have the giver of that gift? Is it something selfish that's preventing me? Or is it merely that I'm asking incorrectly because I don't have the right perspective about the matter to really get deeper into how I can be a blessing to others through this? And this is kind of the point. There's no greater stimulus in being able to persevere in prayer than to really realize that at the end of the day, you're supposed to get the answer to your prayer. And like in the example of Paul praying about his thorn in the flesh, it's not something that you pray only one time and you give up on. Sometimes there's repeated prayer. Sometimes there's the need for praying often and everything. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 1 that the apostles were alone in prayer for 9 days. That there's the continual attitude of prayer that goes with this. It also shows that that prayer should be kind of like a mathematical sum that is proven correct. If we truly pray correctly, we get the answer to what we're praying for. It's kind of like the 1 + 1 = 2 thing. If we're doing it correctly, we get the answer, and the answer makes sense. If we asked and received not, is because we haven't learned to pray in the right way for the thing that we're asking for. We're not adding, we're subtracting, or we're multiplying, or we're dividing, instead of doing the thing that we need to get to the end result. And that's the big lesson that we learn at this point in prayer. In fact, every person that comes to the school of prayer must understand that we must believe in the simple promises that we know are true and receive those simple answers from the standpoint that they're given to us unconditionally, that they're given to us with the wisdom of God and not merely with the perspective of humanity. And when we truly believe in Him, we'll receive the answer to our prayer, and we'll find that the work that we're called to God is a prayer work. It is not simply a doing out without a doing up, as one person once described it. In fact, when difficulties and questions arise, we should seek to have them settled before God and to be made known from understanding both Scripture and the teachings of the church on the matter, of what is the true answer that, or the true promise that we're resting and laying hold of, and how we move forward into that answer. It also shows us that we do not rest without an answer, because the will of God is that every childlike believing petition is to be granted. If no answer comes, we are not just to sit down and resign ourselves that it might not be God's will to give us an answer. We need to understand what it is about our prayer that's not exactly the way it needs to be for God to give it to us in a childlike and believing manner. Taking Paul's thorn in a simple example, he was told by the Spirit of God that it was the grace of God that he needed, not the thorn to be removed. He was looking at the situation incorrectly because he didn't understand the purpose of the thorn. He didn't understand the purpose of the difficulty. And a lot of times we face difficulties the same way. We want just a health and wealth gospel without understanding that God calls us to a cross. He asked us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. And we're struggling too much with wanting to be free of the crosses rather than realizing how with that cross we become crucified with Christ. And nevertheless we live, because we're living by grace. We're living by faith in that moment. Not every hindrance in life is a bad thing. And that's kind of the lesson that we need to learn. And therefore, when we're asking for things to be taken out of our lives that are actually meant to be a blessing either to ourselves or to others, that we're missing the boat. And that's kind of where we need to find out where it is. Because faith in God, true faith, does not try to remove the mountain from every situation in our lives, because sometimes we need the benefit of climbing the mountain. Going through school is one of the things that is probably the most tedious thing for a child to be called to. I mean, but I know that by the time I got to the 6th, 7th grade, I was so tired of school, I didn't want to go anymore. And I was a pretty bad truant for a while. But at the end of the day, I still struggled through, learned what needed to be learned, and in the end, I became the person that I am. I now have a master's in theology, and that took a lot more schooling, and it took just basically realizing the purpose of the difficulty. Not everything that is bad to us is truly bad for us, and that's kind of the thing that most people miss. And a lot of it is we don't take the time to really get God's perspective on a matter. We're looking at the evil of others instead of the good of God in every situation. Look at Joseph. Joseph went from being the special spoiled child of his dad to having his brothers being so jealous that they first throw him in a pit, then sell him into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He's doing good at Potiphar's house, but he's still a slave, and Potiphar's wife wants to have him, and he just rejects that, ends up in prison because of a false accusation. He's in prison for a while. He meets two men that were right hands to the Pharaoh. One gets promoted, the other doesn't, and he tells the one that's about to get promoted, "Don't forget me, get me out of this mess," and he still gets forgotten. All those things, all those moments, led to him finally getting promoted by remaining faithful to God in those bad situations. And one thing you'll note if you kind of read through Genesis and this the account here, is that when he gets to the end, he doesn't seek revenge. There's no statement in there that he sought revenge against Potiphar or Potiphar's wife. He doesn't try to equal things out with his brothers. He does test them before he blesses them. But he basically doesn't, you know, take the place of God, as he says in the 50th chapter of Genesis. Because what they meant for evil, what they did to harm him, was not something that God let stand. He worked out all things so that good could happen and result. And we need to keep this picture in front of us. In fact, one of the biggest things that's important in the Catholic faith is having a crucifix in your home. And one of the reasons is because when we go through difficult times, we can look at that crucifix and we can ask ourselves, did that benefit Jesus? And it realistically, if we're truly being honest, didn't benefit Jesus. He went to a cross, he died, he suffered, he did all this stuff, not for himself, but for everyone else on the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son is the message of the gospel, the simple message. And it's a reminder that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for himself. He didn't have to die. His death, burial, and resurrection benefited us. All that suffering, all that pain, all that agony, hours and hours and hours, from scourging to walking down the road to Calvary from Pilate's throne and being crucified and hanging on a cross for 3 miserable hours did not dissuade him from that particular thing, because he wasn't there for himself. And sometimes we need to realize that the difficulties that we face, these thorns in the flesh, using the Paul terminology, are meant to transform us. And if we truly understand prayer, we will understand that if we truly understand what prayer is, and we truly understand what God wants to have in us, is this childlike faith that doesn't waver when the circumstances get rough, that we'll move forward. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is found in Job. It's Job chapter 2, verse 10, where Job just basically tells his wife, after being told to curse God and die, he goes, come on, are we not supposed to accept the bad things that happen to us in life with the same attitude that we would accept the good? Let that question resonate inside of you for a minute. Do you truly believe that God hates you just because some type of bad thing happens? Look again at Romans chapter 8. Read that big litany about how there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So if you go through a difficult time, if you are separated from a loved one because they die and they don't get healed, is that separating you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Or are you letting that divide you from God by choice? And this is where our childlike faith and believing come in, that we need to understand that we need to pray for the grace to get the answer to our prayer. And to understand when we're praying incorrectly is the only reason that we don't get answers to prayer, and that we need to understand what it is about our prayer that's not the way that it needs to be for us to have success, to have the answer to prayer. In fact, one of the most terrible marks or proofs that we're in a terrible or diseased state spiritually, and that our Christian life is not exactly where it needs to be, is when we don't get answers to our prayer. In fact, many people who rest content without having a specific answer to prayer and believe the whole yes, no, maybe answer to prayer motif, do so because they don't understand the true nature of prayer. They don't understand the true nature of fellowship. And there's more about this when we go forward, that when we're asking for things, we need to trust in God's love to give us what we're asking for. Many people go pray daily, and they ask many things, and they trust that some of them will be heard, but they don't really know any direct, definite answer to their prayer as a standard of how to pray. We're told when we look in James chapter 5 that Elijah is an example of prayer, because the prayer of a righteous man is very effective. It avails, it secures, it does a lot of things. And when we don't see the lot of things in our life, we don't question it. We just rest it up to this mysterious will of God that's not what we can understand. But we're to ask for wisdom, as James says. We're to ask because he will give it to us and reveal to us whether we're praying incorrectly. And if so, how we could pray correctly, whether we're praying against the thorn in the flesh or in need grace, or whether or not we really do need that mountain to be moved and cast into the sea. And there are times for both in our prayers, and we need to understand those. And that's where we need to move forward. In fact, God does will that we come to him every day with distinct requests for our daily bread, as the Our Father teaches us, to ask for forgiveness and to know that we can receive that forgiveness, to ask to be delivered from temptation and evil and not go into sin, because these are graces that we can ask for and actually receive from our Heavenly Father. God wills this. He wills us to come every day to ask for these things that we need, and he will answer those prayers just as he did the prayers of the saints of old. In fact, it was because of the answers to prayer that we get such great moments like are found in Psalm 34 or Psalm 66 or Psalm 19 or Psalm 116, where we find that the psalmists are always praising God for his faithfulness. And this is something that we need to have. Sometimes when the answer to prayer is a refusal, it is just merely because the request was not correct. When Paul did not get the thorn removed, it was because he was praying incorrectly. And the answer was given, "My grace is sufficient." So we don't go to prayer and not get an answer. We get the answer of what God is specifically wanting for the situation that we're praying for. This really needs to get into your heart. God doesn't want to leave us uncertain as to his will. He wants to give us that wisdom, and we sometimes need to pray for it. We need to understand whether or not if there is an answer that leads to somebody passing away, that there was the ultimate good and for a better good than anything else, just like Christ had to die on a cross. And it wasn't necessarily good for Jesus. It wasn't necessarily good for his mother Mary. It wasn't necessarily good per se in the sense of him not being there forever as a true child, because death isn't necessarily the perfect answer to everything. But good comes out of bad things. And the ultimate good that came out of Jesus going to the cross was salvation and a way into a deeper relationship with God. And therefore, it was to use the terminology from an Easter hymn, "Oh, happy fault." We get a happy fault. We get something that can be better. And that's what we need to get. It's not that we have a God that doesn't speak to us. We have a Father who will let each one of his children know what he wants and what he cannot give them. And he won't give you something that'll be harmful to you. If you ask for a piece of bread, he won't give you a stone. He won't give you a snake if you ask for a fish. He will give you good things. And this is something that we need to remember. And it's in those moments that we can withdraw our petition and truly do what Jesus did in Gethsemane and say, "Not what I will, but you will." Because we're not asking amiss. We're not asking to consume it for ourselves or upon our lust and not have the giver of the gift. Both Moses the servant and Christ the Son knew what it was like to ask for something that was not in accordance to the greater good of others and themselves. Both had to learn to pray, "Not what I will, but your will be done." They had to learn what Mary learned at the Annunciation: "Be it done unto me according to your word." It's learning that the prayer is a humble supplication, to learn what's amiss about what it is we're seeking so that we can seek the better things of life. We're not just seeking $1 million so that we can retire and not take care of anybody except for me and mine. We need to have a bigger focus, and we need to realize that when we ask correctly, when we ask in the right way, we get the answer to what we're asking for. Because prayer is appointed for us to obtain an answer. It is for us to have that interchange of love between a father and a child that only happens when we truly get into these intimate moments with God and shut our prayer closets, as the other lesson is. Even when we're in a liturgical public setting, we need to find a way in which being in those moments is still intimate and one-on-one with God, so that we can truly develop this nature of prayer that truly believes and truly accepts and truly loves. And it just shows that when we lack this understanding, when we're resting on not getting a specific answer to our prayer, whether it be an answer of how, of exactly what we're praying for or how we're asking incorrectly, when we don't get it, it shows how deeply the estrangement of the heart is from God when there is a difficulty to truly attain an answer to prayer. And why a lot of people, when they say, oh, well, I prayed, but I didn't get what I prayed for, that shows their true estrangement, that they truly don't understand how the Father loves them and understand that prayer really honestly is supposed to get an answer. And when it doesn't get an answer, it's not because God has fallen short or because prayer doesn't work. It's because there was something wrong about the prayer that you gave. I kind of remember something that a man once told me. Bob Bonds, a great man of God, Presbyterian man who really walked with God and prayed every day. And he got upset one time because he heard some message that one of the faith preachers had talked about how if you don't receive an answer to prayer, it's because you didn't believe. And he was like, oh, that's so insulting. But at the end of it, it was kind of like, in a sense, the faith person was right. They didn't believe. They didn't have the right kind of heart confidence with God to receive what they were praying for. But the problem was, is they didn't understand the reason. And I kind of pointed out to him that the scripture makes it pretty clear that if you ask but don't receive, it's because you're asking incorrectly. There's actually, if you kind of look at the Greek text of it, it's two qualifications. You asked incorrectly, that is, you asked amiss. And the second qualification is you asked to consume it upon your lust. And we know that if we have sin in our heart, that if we're being selfish, if we're trying to ask for the wrong motive, we won't get an answer to our prayer. And that's also a form of asking incorrectly. But if we also asked incorrectly, if we're asking in the wrong manner, like we're asking Buddha instead of Jesus, then there could be an issue with that kind of answer to the whole situation. There's more to this than the there that most people point to. Because in the end, we're supposed to really understand that if we truly have faith and rejoice in Him, we will grow in our spiritual life and be able to experience the true power of prayer when we understand that when we ask, what we ask for is something that God truly wants to give us, if it's asked correctly and with the proper and unsinful motive. So let us sit down and let us really reason through this lesson. Let's really get it inside of us so that we can truly understand these words and meditate upon the asked and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, the knock and it shall be opened unto you, part of what prayer is. And understand that no human reason should weaken or qualify this lesson, because we should simply take the statements of Jesus as He gives them and believes it. Because if we truly understand them fully, we will understand what really results as an answer to prayer. And we won't let any feeble experience of unbelief or ignorance about how to properly ask something prevent us from the true joy that's supposed to come to us from our prayer life and our fellowship moments with God. Because we should always believe in a joyful assurance that if we truly pray in the way that God is looking for true worshipers, who worship in truth, who worship everywhere at the same time always, and that there's no sin in our life that prevents us from receiving the answer, then God will answer from heaven and give us what we're looking for. And this is the childlike trust that we are to really bring into our prayer. And we are to hold on to these words, especially the ones that says, ask and you shall receive. So we turn and we look unto you, O Lord Jesus. And we ask you to teach each one of us what it truly means to ask and to believe what you promise us. We know that in our hearts, we try to satisfy ourselves when no answer comes. We try to go with the answer that sometimes maybe it's a yes or a no or maybe. instead of really looking at what is it about our prayer that might not be what you need it to be, so that you can have us grow spiritually and become more. Do we really understand how prayer is truly a seeking of God's secret counsel and truly understanding in intimate moments what it is that we truly do have need of before we ask that you know? Or is there something better that you really want to give us, that you want to open our eyes to, than just having bad situations be undone, because the bad situation works out for good for somebody else, maybe not just me? And we truly need to understand, oh Lord, that prayer is merely a fellowship with you, where we get a blessing that is greater than just receiving a specific answer, because we're knocking and having a door open unto us, and we're finding you in whatever we seek. Because we're not just going to receive a gift. We go with prayer to receive the giver, to spend time with you. Oh Lord, let each one of us learn from this teaching on prayer that we must not just say things empty or vainly or without the definite loving faith that truly wants what you want in our lives. Let us see that it is simply a plain and open truth that prayer may and must expect a definite answer. Because if we truly come to you in prayer and we pray correctly to our Heavenly Father, we can ask like a child and receive exactly what our Father gives us. O Lord, we know your words are faithful and true. We do not receive because we are praying incorrectly. We are praying in the wrong way. Therefore, it must be because we too maybe live too little in the Spirit or without the true Christian character that we present in our prayer closets or in our public moments of prayer, because we're living hypocritically instead of as a true spiritual worshiper, that we have too little of you, too little of your Holy Spirit. And that is the reason why we have a lack of power to believe in the true answers to our prayer. So Lord Jesus, teach us to pray in faith and to remember always that everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks gets an open door. Amen. Thank you and have a good day.